Miners, Pigman Bloomers, Lightship Pilots, Ballers, Eighth Wall Advertisers, and our beloved Explorers and Wayfinders. Welcome to episode number 63 of the Wayspotters podcast. Thank you for choosing Wayspotters. We really appreciate you. We want to let you know Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network. And we have a special episode for you today and a special guest. But before we get to that, as you know, I'm Blame Jamal. And with me, as always, is Chris. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. We're recording a little bit later than normal, but for our special guest, we wanted to make sure that we were able to accommodate him and his time, and he is all the way in Alaska. So we've got Alaska and we've got Canada all on the same show. So before we get started, Chris, anything you want to say to the Wayfinders and the listeners?
No. Hey, hi, everybody. Glad you're listening. We got a really good show for you.
Now, if you've read the title, you've seen the title of this show is Pokey AK Blocked Me. And with that, we want to bring on our special guest today. So our special guest today, I like to say he's a famous YouTuber. He's got over 200,000 subscribers. He was the first trainer in Alaska to 40 and maybe the last to 50. And he's kind of made his claim to fame as being a battler in the Pokemon Go PvP space, but he also had a big hand in setting up the Wayfarer in Alaska and getting a lot of the Pokestops and portals going in Alaska. So without further ado, we'd like to bring on our special guest today, Pokey AK. Poke, hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How's everybody going?
Good, man. It is good to have you. I've kind of followed your career since, you know, Pokemon Go launched and, you know, being kind of I consider Alaska the West Coast because I'm from Portland. So when you were from Alaska, I'm like, hey, that's not too far from the hometown. And kind of followed your career and the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads. And we want to kind of dig into that today and talk to you about Pokemon Go. But before we start to get into the back and forth of the questions, I'm sure you need no introduction, but could you give our listeners a little bit about yourself? You know, what's your history with the franchise, whether it's Go or TCG or the main series? Kind of tell us a little bit about you, Poke.
Yeah, well, I've been playing Pokemon ever since it came out on Red and Blue back when it was on the old brick Game Boy. Had a blast, loved it, fell in love, went to tournaments. Won, lost, played the Pokemon card games, everything in between, kind of fell out between generations. But to cut it all short, came back into Pokemon Go, loved it, didn't want to download it initially, thought it looked like a knockoff kind of a game. But my friend said, get it. So we got it, uploaded my first video. It did well. So I continued after that, non-commentary. And then eventually I got into the commentary and, well, the rest is history. 2 videos, 3 videos a day. The grind never stops. And I mean, I can go on and on about myself, but that's the gist of it.
So you started streaming almost right away when the game came out, right?
Yes.
Okay. What got you started in that? I'm really interested in what got you started in streaming from the very beginning.
All right. So essentially, I had a channel already. I was helping a guy in Korea. He had made a Digimon app that was kind of a replica of the Tamagotchi Digimon back in the 90s, if you remember those. And so it was on the phone. I was helping him kind of translate and put out instructions on how to play. My channel kind of got started like that. So that's where I got my YouTube channel. And then eventually, as time goes on, I started uploading random things. Never made a career out of it, just for fun. Pokemon Go came out. Like I said, friend asked me to download it. I saw a phenomenon going on around me, something I'd never seen before. Everybody looking at their phone and they're all playing Pokemon Go. And I'm like, what is this? So I upload a random video, just me in my room with an outlet and a drowsy, just sitting there talking. And it got a lot of views. So I uploaded more and more and the traction continued. And it was a life-changing experience, to say the least. And the content was mediocre, to say it nicely, I guess, against myself. And so I kind of advanced it by putting in commentary towards the end. But how I initially started was just uploading battling gyms. And that's how my channel initially started.
Nice, nice. So you've developed an interesting relationship with traders on social media. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship there. At first, I didn't really want to use Twitter or social media, but then I quickly realized I'm going to have to adapt if I want my name to get out there and I want to expand and generate more views at the end of the day. So I started posting on Twitter just my videos and then started tipping my toe into talking about subjects, nothing political, but just, putting my two cents into things. And I'm a kind of a common sense kind of a guy. If I see something is this color or that color, I say it and I say it. I say what I see in front of me. And that's what stirred up a lot of controversy with me and other traders is they have their views, I have my views, and well, it started becoming a big old mess. And I started blocking people for, falsely saying things against me, or if they were just being difficult without any reason, I would block them as well. And that's where the whole thing came out. It really took a while to generate that. But we can get more into depth if you have any more specifics on that.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think if we're going to be like authentic, like you're kind of known for blocking people, and people have all
Yeah.
these theories of like why you blocked them. Oh, I beat Poke in PvP, so he's going to go and find me and block me so that they can't put up a video showing X, Y, or Z. So, do you want to get into that and talk about like
Absolutely.
what's your daily Twitter like? I look at it must be exhausting, but talk to us about that.
Okay. Here we go. It was very exhausting at first when I was wanting to block everybody and anybody who would say anything negative that was just nonsense, beyond the realms of logic or what I'm actually doing, false things. So taking hours to block people, I just said, what am I doing? This is taking too much time. I can't sit here and block people for sitting here wasting my time like this. So eventually, I go on to people saying things that are just completely false against me. Look at the people who like them. And this is where a lot of misconception comes in. Poke blocked me for nothing. Poke blocked me for nothing. I didn't block you for nothing. Somebody said that I was, I'm going to try to censor myself a little bit, but same defecations against me or whatever, just completely false allegations. So I'd go through the list and I would block all the people that like that comment. And then they said, he blocked me for nothing. Well, no, I didn't. You like the comment contributing to that. So that's therefore I blocked you. So that's one of the things. But nowadays, how it works is I don't block people like that anymore for simple things or just a defamation or whatever their claims are. I just let it go. It has to be extreme because I'm starting to look at Twitter as a business because soon we might have it as something that we're going to be able to upload on the platform. But as far as exhaustion and just going through all of the comments, I don't do that anymore.
Gotcha.
But it did take hours of my time before in the past. Sorry to extend that,
No, that's
but yeah,
perfect.
that's.
Well,
Do you have any regrets about the way that you used to do it?
I would. There's not any deep regrets, but I would definitely say maybe I would take a step back and not say a few of the things that I did say, even though at the end of the day it's simple common sense. I probably wish I would not have said that. And in the back of my mind, I knew this was going to start just a crap storm, but I went ahead and did it anyways because I'm Pokey AK, and so it just started a big mess. But as far as regrets, maybe holding my tongue after the world invitation.
Yeah, so that was the two things I wanted to get into. I want to talk about the World Invitation, and then I want to talk about what's gone on in the last 10 days with you and Fleece. And I know you've called him out. There's been some back and forth there, but let's go back to the World Invitation. Walk the listeners through what happened there. What's your side of it?
Okay. Well, all right, here we go.
And take as
I'm
much
going to
time as you
be
need. Take
first.
as much time as you need.
Okay. First of all, right out the gate, I just want to say King IV, shout out to him. Great guy. Nothing against him. The event was fun. The whole, there was a few complications as far as the lag, as we all know, with the whole no GPS at the top. But everything was very decent. Everything was very nice. All the competitors were great. I had a good time. I wasn't nervous. The only issue, as most of us know who, want to know, is the fact that he called restart on a few putters that were literally, I had putters on my end too, but I didn't call a restart. I was looking to win. I was feeling good. But after he kept calling those restarts over and over again, shout out to him again, not trying to take shots, I just got discouraged and I said, the hell with it. And the people in the comments who were saying that I just lost focus and I just didn't care anymore, guys, you're right. I reached a point where I was winning a lot of the matches. I was looking good, and then it restart, restart, restart. Otherwise, that's the only thing. You have no idea the frustration that I had afterwards. While, he had the trophy, and I had to stand there and do the interviews. I just wanted to go home. I hated it. But other than that, before that, it was a great time, and I loved it. That's pretty much it.
All right, Poke. Yep, great. I appreciate you kind of, reliving that. I'm sure that wasn't one of your fondest memories as being a battler. But the interesting thing is, I've heard four or five different versions of what happened that day. And it seems like everything revolves around you. Everybody wants to come up with their own story of something that happened to you. Like, what are your thoughts on that specific situation and just other situations where people just kind of put words in your mouth?
That's one of the most frustrating things. If you want to make up a story about me, that's fine. But when it comes down to my character and specifically this world championship, it gets a little frustrating, because I would like to see them, be in that position as well. I feel like I've become kind of a figure of the public for the Pokemon Go community. It's some sort of a punching bag at this point. But as far as their own opinions against me, that's one of the reasons why I fight back so hard, because there are so many different versions of what I'm saying out there, and I need to get the story straight. And a lot of the times, some of these stories that are being told by other people that are about me, that are false, are getting more traction than my own story itself. If you say my name on Twitter, it gets a lot of traction, especially if it's a negative light. Mostly if it's a negative light. So there you go. I mean, it's bringing them attention to their page. It's bringing, I mean, that's pretty much it. But it's very frustrating, to say the least.
So let's get into what's gone on since the time that we've been talking about doing this interview. You've had some issues with Fleece. Let's get right into that.
Let's get into that. Okay. So the reason why that started, me and Fleece were cool. Had nothing against the guy. Hung out with him in Chicago for had to be 2 hours or something like that, just walking around, playing, doing raids. This was after they kicked us out of the park. Not Niantic's fault, because there was a thunderstorm in Chicago, so they kind of said disperse for a while. So we were just running around doing raids. I think it was Cresselia, I don't remember exactly, but talking a bunch, back and forth about our life, and it was a great time, hung out with him. Fast forward into the point where all this went down is somebody, as we were talking about, as you brought up before, how people kind of use my name online and kind of claim being a victim to being blocked. But in the first place, they hated me. So what's the big problem? But anyways, this person went on to go ahead and say, not Fleece, somebody else. He commented on their thing, and we'll get into that. So this individual said, PokeAK blocked me for beating him in Go Battle League. So he goes on to show a screenshot of him beating me in his log and then showing how I'm blocked. So he goes to my page and it shows that he's blocked. Come to find out, I knew I didn't do that because I do not do this. So let's clear up the air really quick before I continue on. I do not block people for beating me in Go Battle League. That's an utter complete nonsense. I will block you if you go on social media and start talking a bunch of mess. And that's it. There's really not much more to say. And also, people who claim to be falsely blocked, they're usually blocked. Well, they're not falsely blocked. They're falsely claiming to be blocked because I beat them. They have been blocked for months prior, months, weeks, maybe years. And then once they beat me, they go on social media, they take a screenshot of them beating me, I take a screenshot of my of them being blocked, and they could put them together and they say, he blocked me. So there you go. So I'm sick and tired of this. So when I saw this, I had to call it out, had to make a video and expose him. And he was a liar. We found out he was lying. He's been blocked months prior. So where does Fleece come in? Well, he hops on the bandwagon of hate and starts going on his virtue signaling thing that he does on social media to attract likes, the sympathy, the look at me, everybody. Look, we're so good in virtue signaling. We've got to be the protector of this galaxy. So he starts saying how he shouldn't be blocking people for beating them, yada, yada, yada. And I said, I'm done. So I called him out and it was over. At that point, it was declared war because he was not blocked. He could have simply messaged me. Prior to this, about a week or less, he messaged me asking, why did you stop following me? And I said, well, you removed me from your friends list, which is perfectly fine. I wasn't opening your gifts. You weren't sending me raids. I wasn't sending you raids. Cool. We move on with our lives. No problem. I'm still your homie. No big deal, right? He took offense to that for some reason because I didn't follow him on Twitter because I unfollowed him. So ever since then, he's been picking a bone. He's been getting really mad. So he found this opportunity to go in here and jump on that Pokia K hate bandwagon. And well, he just went to town. He didn't necessarily say anything super mean or hateful, but it was a virtue signal in his own right. And at that point, like I said, it was war because I knew what he was doing. So he shows up at GoFest, or not GoFest, sorry, the Las Vegas tour. He didn't announce it. He didn't say he was going to meet up with me, but I was talking to some fans, just hanging out, having a good old dandy time, right? Just talking about things, smiling. Wasn't thinking about hate or anger or fighting, right? All of a sudden, he shows up right in front of me, and I'm in handshake, how you doing mm-hmm. mode, right? Because I'm at the right. tour and everybody's trying to approach me. So he comes up to me and he says, he's like puts out his hand and I just put out my hand and systematically shake it without even thinking of what.
So you didn't even see him at that point.
I'm like,
right?
How's it going, man?
See who it was.
No, I didn't even see him. I just put out my hand and I just shook. And then I looked up and I saw it was him. And I still wasn't thinking, oh, okay, this is trouble. I was thinking, oh, it's Fleece. But then immediately he says, oh, you're not so tough anymore, are you? And I looked down, literally, I had to look down at him because he's very short. And I'm looking down, I'm like thinking, okay, there's people all around. We just started our GoFest, or our, I keep calling it GoFest, the tour. Oh,
yeah, Hoenn
Tour. And I really don't want to start a fight right now. First of all, I'm in another state. I paid to get into this event. I paid to come to this event. And yes, I will throw down if I have to. I'm not trying to incite violence, but I will protect myself. But he didn't throw an immediate threat at me. So I was just looking at him, gave him the stink eye. And all this time, we're sitting there with our hands holding each other for like 10 seconds in his awkward thing after he said, not so tough now. And I'm sitting here looking at him and then looking at the people who are talking to me. And I'm like thinking what I should do. And I just let go and I'm just walk away. And the people that were talking to me before Fleece came up, they said, hey, were you guys joking? I said, no, man, there was a fight about to break down right there. And I just walked away. They're like, okay, that's probably the better thing to do. But that's the first interaction with Fleece and the whole controversy. So at this point, I'm pissed, right? I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, this little son of a gun just wanted to come up on me. He literally walked up with about, I don't know, 8 people behind him. It wasn't the fear of fighting, like I told you, it was the fear of getting in trouble with the law. Because, you know, every time I've gotten into a tussle, let's put it that way, they always tell me to throw the first hit. And if I do, you got to throw the first hit, then they call the cops. I'm thinking if I do that, the cops are going to come. Of course, they're going to come regardless. So I'm trying to avoid this. So that's why I didn't interact with him there. If you want to hear even more, we can continue on if you want me to. You want me to
continue? Oh, yeah. On? If you want to keep going, go ahead.
Okay. Let's keep spilling the juice. All right. So
spill the tea.
Let's spill this milk. All right. So I'm having a good time, you know, throughout the day. I'm kind of thinking about, yeah, you know, I wish I could see him again and just, you know, go up to him and surprise him like he did to me. while he's talking to somebody. So, I don't know, several hours later, I finally see him. I'm by myself, he's walking by himself, and I kind of come up, sneak up right behind him and like whisper in his ear, like, "Hey, what's going on, buddy?" And he looked up at me with the most spooked, scared face I've ever seen. And I said, "Look, I'm not here to start any trouble. What's the issue?" And he goes on by giving me this angry look, nervous look, saying, "You know what the issue is." I said, "Hey, man, you're the one who posted, going along with defecation that was completely false. What happened?" The person redacted it because they had to because they were lying, and you still wanted to double down and continue to mock me. And at that point, one of his fans said, "Hey, Fleece," and he scurried off like a Pokemon running away in a catch screen. I was like, and I was like, it was gone. And I just left it alone because there was no point to continue on. But I got my feel back there. So that's it. And otherwise, I wanted to post it. Okay, well, never mind. It continues on. After the Hoenn tour, I come back and he's continuing to post on a lot of things that have my tag name on Twitter and just slandering me. So I just said, the hell with this. There's this video that a comedian in Australia who actually exposed him for stealing content on Facebook and just being an all-around fake, even showing petitions to get him removed from Facebook because he's stealing content. So I posted the video, and after that, I left it alone. I blocked him because he really started messaging me in a very, I guess, obsessive way. So I just blocked it. I just blocked him. I said, "We're done with this." And at that point, that's pretty much the end of the story. And yeah, there's the Fleece
Take the
King
high
thing.
road.
Well, Poke, I completely understand that. And, I'm a dad. I got four daughters. I'm not a big fan of throwing hands, but I will defend myself if necessary. So, do you feel that it was ever going to come to where you guys were going to actually have to throw hands or come to blows? Did it, or was it just kind of implied, or did you feel like you were going to have to defend yourself in that situation?
No, I didn't feel threatened whatsoever. Him approaching me with a group of people was the first indication that he wasn't going to do it himself. He bring the backup there in case something went wrong, and I knew exactly what it was from the get-go. The people, from first glance looking around at them, I mean, I could tell that they didn't want to do it either. So,
Right.
no, I didn't feel like I was threatened whatsoever. The only thing that got my adrenaline pumping was the fact that he came up, that he had the goal to come up and start an argument and an issue and a problem like that while I was interacting with fans and friends that traveled. And it was kind of like really weird because he goes on about, mental health and being friendly and being kind and being all this and that and being the best. And he goes and does everything opposite right there in one swoop. So that, I already knew the character. I could start to see it, and that's the only thing that kind of really pissed me off right there. But
Right.
no, I did not feel threatened by him
Well,
whatsoever.
you said it on your video, and you're right here with us on the Wayspotters podcast. Is there anything that you want to say to, let's just do this. Is there anything you want to say to your listeners? Not necessarily to Fleece. You can if you want to, but is there anything you want to say to your listeners that you haven't said on your videos, or just to set the record straight about that situation and what's gone on in the last month or so?
See, I'm so vocal and I'm so crystal clear and just straightforward about a lot of things that happened that I've already laid out everything throughout multiple videos. So my listeners, if they are watching me, they've already got the gist of what's going on. I'm very, like I said, straightforward. I don't hide anything and I just bring everything straight to the light. So shout out to all my supporters and fans right now. I love you all, but there's nothing that you haven't heard already.
Right. That's awesome. And then we had one other question. I think Chris was going to ask this question before we kind of got cut off. So, is there anyone that you've blocked that you kind of feel bad about, or you wish you could go back and unblock and kind of put things before you block them?
There might be a couple that I just don't know that were collateral damage amongst all of the blocks, but I did go back and consciously unblock a few people that I felt didn't deserve it. One specifically being a content creator, an actual battler, Toe Technical, and he's a good guy, and there's several people out there that I went through and unblocked, and there's probably even more. You have to understand there's hundreds that I have to sift through, but as of now, currently, I think I've unblocked most of the people that I have genuinely wanted to unblock that I felt kind of bad about. Specifically, actually, it's funny that you bring that up. I unblocked Purple Kyogre. He's going through some family troubles right now. He's another battler. He makes content on YouTube and he does it also on Twitch. Shout out to you. He is his one of his family members got cancer. So I
Sorry to
unblocked him.
hear
I
that.
saw it on a post. Yeah, sorry to hear that. And so look, again, I'm not here to make enemies. I really don't want to be fighting with people. So I unblocked him immediately as soon as I saw that, sent him, prayers and made amends immediately. He sent me a message back, thank you, and we're good to go. So I mean, I guess there's a victory. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I just want to be getting along, and I just hate people putting false things about me. And I'm a very black and white kind of a person, and if you're going to keep doing nonsense, I'm going to have to block you and move on with my life.
Yeah, makes total sense. I mean, you gotta keep it positive, especially like on Twitter. So it's hard sometimes to maintain that positive attitude. So yeah, cutting the people out that are gonna be negative, totally get it.
So would you say that you are the most misunderstood person in the Pokemon Go community, or would you say you're the most hated person in the Pokemon Go community? Which one do you think fits or neither?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say probably a mix between both. I'm not gonna get all political, but we're living in an age of upside down world. So they hate common sense, and I'm common sense, so they hate me. That's pretty much it. I'm gonna have to say if I had to pick, misunderstood.
So let's go ahead and move on to topic number two. And we want to talk a little bit about Wayfair. So we have it on pretty good authority that going back way back when you were part of the initial team or person or persons that helped a lot of the POIs and Pokestops get put in your part of Alaska. Is that true, first of all?
And initially, no. I don't know where that happened, but as of recent, though, I have really been going crazy. I have actually filled up a baseball field next to my house, got Pokestops, I got a gym, two gyms, and it's been great. It's usually the route I walk with my dog, so I was just taking pictures of everything. It's very limited here, but as far as previously, before in the past, I'd say about over a year ago, I wasn't really involved in making stops. I just wasn't familiar with the concept or how it worked. I was a little bit, I guess, intimidated, maybe a little lazy to learn how it worked. But eventually I came around to it. I said, there's something that's got to give. There's too much stuff around here. I've got to make some Pokestops. I was able to pull up a bunch in my area here, and we were having a blast fighting over that gym for months, and they were going to town with Mystic or with Instinct. They were really killing me with that. But I'm not too familiar with all the Wayfair things. All I know is you got to space it out, and it can't be too close.
It can be intimidating to get started, especially if you're looking to get Pokestops and that whole Pokemon Go aspect because of the S2 cells and that stuff. So what led you to get started and to get back active in the stops?
Well, my first one was rejected, but I came to realize I was like, oh, they don't want me to have stops. They hate me. It was nothing to do with that. It was because I put a stop way too close to another one. I was being an idiot. So I got back on it, and what brought me to it is I was walking down this trail with my dog every day in the summertime, and there's all kinds of things that I felt could be potential stops or gyms. So I started taking pictures. starting submitting them and doing the best that I could to actually make them stops. It took several months, but eventually I got the whole thing filled up and I'm looking good. But basically what motivated me was to, I mean, let's give it another shot. Let's see if we can get Pokestops over here. Why not? It wasn't really too much of a epiphany. It was just kind of, let's go ahead and just try it again. And I did, and I was able to get them approved, and well, we're looking good. I got all kinds of good stops and gyms over my area now.
How many Pokestops and gyms do you think you've added to your part of Alaska, your part of Anchorage?
I've added to, in my area, I've added two gyms and about, I'd have to say, six Pokestops, which doesn't sound too much, but for the little effort that I put in, I wouldn't say little, but for the effort that I put in those areas, that's pretty significant. If I focus on other areas, I can do the same. So, yeah, it wasn't too difficult. I just, you know, had to make sure I spaced it out correctly, take pictures of correct things, name them correctly without being absurd, and we got a Pokestop in a gym.
Do you have other people in your community that you work with? I don't know if there's a Discord or a Facebook group that you coordinate. Hey, I'm going to submit this. I'm going to submit that. Is there anybody else you're working with?
We definitely have a community here, and it's a very tight-knit community that works together, and it's very helpful with each other. I personally just don't work with them. Nothing against them. I'm just kind of a loner kind of guy. We do have a very active Discord and Pokemon Go community here, and also Pokestop submitters. But I have not worked with anybody.
Okay. So when it comes to reviewing and submitting on a, let's say in the last year, how many reviews do you think you've done through Wayfair?
Oh boy. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
All right, I'm going to be honest. I've done about one.
Okay. All right. So this is where Chris and I are going to get on our soapbox, because we need more submitters. We need more submitters than we need more reviewers than submitters, because the way it all works is when you submit your nomination, people have to go in and vote on it. And the more people that vote on it, mm-hmm. the more likely it's going to go through. So you can't be part of the problem. And I'm wagging my finger at you, right? I got my dad voice on, right?
Hey.
So I like to tell people, for every nomination you submit, I personally would love for you to go in and do 25 reviews. So if you submit four, give me 100 reviews. That just kind of helps the pipes keep rolling and things don't get clogged up. But
absolutely.
But, I'm going to kick it over to Chris because I'm talking a lot. But I want to know, how often do you talk about Wayfair on your stream or on your videos?
Ooh, probably never. I make very specific videos, and those do horribly when I do make them, about how I made the stops. So I just gave up.
Right.
If I made a more in-depth video, very educational, breaking down how it worked to its fundamentals, I'm sure it would get a lot more views and traction and likes. But as far as really breaking it down, I haven't. I'm guilty. I haven't done it.
So you know what's funny? A lot of creators we talked to said the same thing, that those videos don't do well. So we just started a podcast in a whole genre that doesn't do well on video, and we're going to go in and change that. But I cut Chris off. Go ahead, Chris.
I you know what? Honestly, I think that it's starting to gain traction. So I think that once we start doing our video podcasts, it'll do a little bit better. We'll have Poke here to retweet us, so they'll be.
I know how we can get it going.
All right.
I know how we can get it going. An up and coming YouTuber, up and coming. He's already up and coming. Can I give him a shout out?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Pokedex, make a video on it. You freaking blow up every video. Make a video on Pokestops, Pokedex. You hear me?
Yeah. Do you want to know what's funny about that? So before we started the Waste Spotters podcast, back when it was Lachlan and I reached out to Pokedex and asked if he wanted to be our very first guest. And he declined because he said he didn't felt he knew enough about Wayfair at the time. And since then, he's only gone and done a bunch of videos that have done really well. So I need to reach back out to him. So you and I will work together with Chris. We'll get him on the show. Maybe we'll get him to go on and do a video one. But yeah, I agree. I think he adds a lot to the space. And at the end of the day,
absolutely,
at the end of the day, we just want to make sure people are educated in what they're doing when it comes to Wayfarer, because yourself as a battler, if there's no stops, you can't get items. And if there's no stops, there's no spawns. You can't catch the Pokemon you need to battle, and you can't get the Stardust you need. So everything really starts with the Wayfarer and with the stops and the gems.
Yep.
We're the backbone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So here's a question.
When you put in your stops at the baseball diamond that you said you did, how long did you have to wait for those to get approved?
It was about three months, maybe 3 months or a month and a half. It was a good wait, but it was worth it.
Yeah, for sure. So I Jamal gets real jealous when I say this. I very rarely have things go past
a week. He's just bragging. I guess. He's just bragging.
So I'm going to bring this back to, we need more reviewers. So if you were reviewing in your area and you had more people, you could convince more people to review in your area, they would go through quicker.
Look, here, I have to say something about the reviewing. Here, the reason why I felt so discouraged with that is because every review it was giving me was for a space that was out 100 miles from where I was. So I felt like it was, you know, I don't want to sound greedy or, you know, something like that, but like useless for me, you know. I was like, well, that, but yes, I do need a review nonetheless. I get it. I should get on that.
That's fair. It is discouraging when you've got a bunch of stuff that you're reviewing that's nowhere near where you are.
Yeah.
But you gotta plow through the backlog, and then eventually you'll start to get stuff that's closer to you.
Okay. Noted.
Now, when you do go to submit nominations, aside from, I kind of think you're kind of a guy like me. I'm kind of selfish when it comes to Wayfarer. I like to nominate things that I'm going to personally spin, right? I want it to appear in the game. I want to be able to see it on my phone and spin it and get the items from it and get the spawns from it, right? So everything within a 3 or 4 mile radius of my house that is eligible to be nominated is nominated around my house, around my work, around my kids, where they play. Everywhere I go, I've got my own personal little pet projects. I'm assuming that you're the same way. You're walking your dog, you want to spin. But other than that, when you're out and about, do you look at things and go, huh, I could put that in the game? Or, I wonder if this is in the game. Do you ever think on those lines?
Yeah, I am going to go crazy this summer when it comes to submitting. I am going to just do as many as I can. I'm going to max it out as much as possible. And to touch back to what you were saying, it could be a hint of greed where I put stops in my area, but you have to understand my situation here. I'm literally a guy who's creating content who needs as much as I can, but at the same time, I'm not necessarily trying to be, you know, I want to stop on my house. I want a gym stop at home, but at the same time, we have nothing here and we are barren in a lot of places. So I'm just trying to fill in those gaps. And that's simply what I'm trying to do. So I filled in a little bit of the gap. Now that I got an understanding of how this works, I had some good success, made a couple of gyms, several stops. I'm going to go through the town and I'm going to start looking. But yes, I do spot things here and there. I'm like, that could be a stop. But it feels like every time I do, I'm always in a rush. So I'm never really able to just go and take a picture. You have to understand, I'm always on the move.
I gotcha.
Yeah. That's the beauty about kind of the way that they've changed the ability to nominate stuff is you can do it from home now. Like you can do it remotely. So you can kind of snap a couple of pictures while you're out. And then when you're back at home, you can go in and put them in. Right. So I've done that. I do that a lot because I'm the same way. I'm out and about and I got 5 kids. Right. So I'm out and about and I'm always doing stuff, snapping pictures. My wife laughs at me sometimes. I'll wander off, take a couple of pictures and come back. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Pokemon. She's like, oh, okay.
It's for the greater good. That's good to know.
Yeah. So there's a feature inside of there when you go through the settings menu where you can submit, as long as you're within a certain radius, you can submit that photo. You can go, I don't remember off the top of my head. I submit all my stuff through Ingress, so I don't remember what the Pokemon Go rules are. It might be 20 kilometers
I think it's 25
yeah. kilometers.
It's around 20-25. Yeah,
that as long as you're okay. within that radius, you could snap the picture and you can upload it from there. But one thing I meant to ask you about earlier when you were talking about Vegas and you mentioned that you bought the ticket and you flew there, are you sponsored or affiliated with Niantic? Forgot to ask you that earlier. Or have you been in the past or are you currently?
When I went to the Invitational, it was, I don't think it was Niantic that sponsored me. It was actually the Pokemon Company. But ever since then, no, I flew there myself. They have never reached out. They actually ignore me. So
okay. Now a guy with 200,000 followers, is that kind of frustrating? Because, you know, not to get into anybody else's wallet, but I see some of the other content creators with videos and they've got similar followings and, you know, some of them are sponsored by Niantic or have a relationship with Niantic. Has that ever bothered you that you are like the guy holding down the whole state of Alaska and a lot of the West Coast and, you know, you don't get any love from them?
Yeah. Yes. 100%. Absolutely. I'm very frustrated. It is very annoying. So one of the things is now this is a little perk of being sponsored by them or being under Niantic's wing and doing all that, is you get the information, the news before everybody else. So essentially, when a content creator uploads the new update event and Niantic drops it on Twitter literally a minute before they personally uploaded it, because they have that information, that is frustrating because they get the first dibs. Now, I'm not like angry about that. It's like, well, got to deal with it. But being ignored by Niantic the way they have done me is very frustrating. The amount that I have contributed and the input that I have put, and I don't want to go on some arrogant rant or nothing, but I put in a fair share of work for this game. And yeah, it is very annoying. I can go on some few other things, but we won't dig into all that. Just to say the least, yeah, it is a little upsetting, but at the end of the day, you can't focus on it.
Right. I get you. And I don't want to put salt in a wound, but one more question on that. Have you reached out to them and they just haven't reached back out, or do you not have an avenue to get to talk to anybody over there? Or?
I have not reached out to them. I think I have an avenue, but I haven't tried. I felt like I really burned a bridge after the Invitationals. Like, they give me an NDA. I should have shut my damn mouth. You know, basically after the event, you just say it was fun and that's it. Mm-hmm. You just walk away. I dug in. I shouldn't. And then I broke the rules. So facing the consequences, then that's pretty much it.
Right.
So I'm the only one to blame.
Okay. Well, at least you can take accountability for that. That says a lot about a person when they know that something has happened and, you know, they're 51% at least in the wrong and they can come up and say that. So I give you props for that. I just wanted to know mainly because your name is pretty hot on Twitter, especially the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you've done a lot of things around there. I was just wondering, like, what that relationship was like, or if you've tried to mend that fence with them and kind of get on their good side, you know, now that we're coming into the summer and Go Fest and Safari Zones are coming up. And there's a lot of people in the community that know who you are and watch your videos.
You know, I think it would probably be best that I just don't have any affiliation with them because ever since I was young, and I think all the way back to fourth grade, I remember my teacher, she said, you know what your problem is? You know, you know what the problem you're going to have in life is? Your mouth. So it's probably better that I don't, because I'll probably screw it up.
So we are going to go ahead, everybody, and we're going to roll to break. You guys are going to hear some dad jokes that are going to be super funny. And then on the other side, we are going to continue our conversation with Poke. We're going to get into some waste spots of the week and some coal of the week. And we're going to let Poke kind of shout out all of his socials, places where you can find him, places where you can, you know, meet up with him, buy his merch and all that. So let's go ahead and roll the break and we will see you on the other side.
Hi, this is Anthony, the CEO of Foundry 6, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
This is Genji, and we are listening to the Wayspotters podcast show.
Ugh, get some better jokes already. It's season two.
Two sheeps walk into a bar. Stop looking for the perfect match. Use a lighter. What did one plate whisper to the other plate? Hey, dinner's on me. Can a kangaroo jump higher than a house? Of course, houses can't jump. What did the seal with one fin say to the shark? If the seal is broken, do not consume. How many telemarketers does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but it has to be done at dinner time. How do you stop a bull from charging? Cancel its credit cards. What's the difference between a man's wallet before and after kids? There are pictures where the money used to be. All right, everybody, welcome back from break. Hopefully you enjoyed the jokes. And we are here with our guest today, Poki AK from Alaska, YouTube streamer and battler, expert PvPer, and knower of a lot of things, and heavy hand when it comes to the block button, so don't pile on and don't spread lies about them. Right now, we're going to move into our next segment, and we're going to go into Wayspot of the Week, and I'm going to kick it over to Chris, who's going to share this week's Wayspot.
Thank you. So Wayspot of the Week this week comes to us from Wood Wolf's Wolf, Sylph Scientists, and it comes from the Pokemon Professor Discord. The title of the Wayspot is Flying South for the Summer. It is a, looks like a nature information sign about birds that migrate south for the summer. The background is the beautiful beach. It's framed perfectly. The description says this sign describes the migration of the little tern, and there's a bunch of information on there about the migrations. It's just a beautiful, beautiful way spot.
Yeah, and we have to say friend of the show, yes. Wood Wolf's Wolf. He was on episode 10 talking to us about open street maps and how you can improve your neighborhood and community. And it's always nice to see pictures from down under. And this technically should be upside down because it's from Australia. But shout out to Wood Wolf's Wolf. This is a fantastic Wayspot of the Week. And for all of you listening to this on Sunday morning, we will be sending this out Monday afternoon at 12 Eastern, 12 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, as we do with all the Wayspots of the Week. And then the Coal of the Week will follow Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as we go on. So thank you, Wood Wolves, for that submission, and we really appreciate it. So Coal of the Week. Now, Chris, love this intro for Coal of the Week. Let's go ahead and play it now.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal. I found some coal.
Love it. That's awesome. Chris, you want to take Coal of the Week number one?
Sure, I'll take number one. Coal of the Week number one, water pump. It is a picture of exactly what the title says. It's a water pump. It's got a couple of pipes coming out of the ground, a couple of little dials that I guess the fire people use. I don't even know what this is. It's not a very interesting. The title is Water Pump, and the description is this water pump cycles water to the whole area. And it's just, and it looks like it's on someone's front lawn too. That's the best part.
I don't know what you can say about this. It's taken at night, it's not framed well, and it's not something that you would want to add to the portal network. Poke, what do you think about this one?
You probably want to take that shot during the day, and I would say that you don't want to get something on somebody's property because that's just automatically off limits.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, this one comes to us from our good friend at Wayfarer Cole on Twitter. And we've shouted out Wayfarer Cole a couple times. We need to get Wayfarer Cole.
Yes, I think we
said that before, Chris. But yeah, Chris, this is a water pump.
I don't know.
All right. So moving on to Cole number two. And this one comes to us from Prince P-Dove in the Wayfarer Discussion Discord. And oh boy, I'm going to attempt to read German. All right, I got to get loosened up here. Kiel von Old Boyne Leaken Plus? Maybe? What do you guys think? How'd I do?
Yeah.
Kiel von Boyne?
You get a pass. You get a pass.
Okay. All right. So, playground area designed to provide an environment for children, usually with typical outdoor games such as trampoline, swing, bounce house, etc. So that all sounds great. So listeners, what you're looking at in this picture is a playground, but the problem with this is, the reason why this is cold, and this is very important, this is literally in someone's backyard. So just like the first one, it's on private property. Normally, playgrounds are five stars and they go right through, but this is like if you go to like your backyard and you've got a trampoline in your backyard, you cannot make that a Pokestop. So this is clearly in someone's backyard. So Prince P-Dove, thank you for sending this over. Just can't do it.
The orientation on that picture isn't great either.
See, I wasn't even going there. I wasn't even going to go to the orientation. So, Poke, we can get real technical on this show, and we can talk about the angles, and it's not at a 90-degree angle, and you can't see the horizon and all of that. But this is just, it's in somebody's backyard.
You know, it looks like they were trying to go for a high all viewpoint angle. I can see where they're coming from that angle. But, and it is kind of looking like a playground, but it's property issues.
Absolutely. Yep,
it's someone's backyard. All right. So go ahead, Poke. We'll give you number three. This is the first time you've ever done Cole of the Week. So let's see what you got.
All right. Well, I'm just looking at my screen. So I took a quick glance at it. So we'll go over what I briefly went over. This is by Typhlosion One. And he took a shot of a Dairy Queen. And it looks very far away and from inside of his car. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a shot from inside of your car. But you got to make sure it's at least clear. Now, taking a shot of some sort of a fast food could become a Pokestop, but if you're going to do that, you know, come on, get out of your car and get a clear shot of what you're trying to get the Pokestop to be. And that's pretty much the issue. It doesn't look like something that's going to be wanting to, you know, people are going to vote on. So the only advice I'd have is to maybe get a little bit closer.
I think that's something that you've probably heard Chris say. It's not too far. Get out of your car.
Yeah. Hey.
And this one, when I look at this, it makes me kind of dizzy because his window was rolled up and it's raining. So, you know, when you look out your passenger window and there's the rain spots on it, so it kind of looks kind of dirty. And the sign of the QT is like 30, 40 yards away. And the title of it is Quick Trip Chapel Creek, gas station and convenience store. So there's problems there, right? There's problems. But now the supporting photo, this is something that Chris and I, we could have an entire show.
Yeah, we could.
It's tilted at a weird angle. It's taken from the car. It's taken through the windshield and you can see the dashboard. So like Poke said, if you're going to take a picture from a car, don't let me see any part of the car. I don't want to see the rearview mirror. I don't want to see the side mirror. I don't want to see the dashboard because Wayfarers and Wayspotters will one-star you without even a second thought if they see any part of the car. So, Poke, you were spot on.
Absolutely.
Right there.
I will have to say this. His heart was in the right spot. He was trying to help the community. You just need to put a little bit more effort. And I also can see why he didn't want to get out. It was raining. Okay. But come on.
It was raining. Yeah. It was dark. Yeah. And
If you think that we can't tell that your window was rolled up when you take that picture, we can tell.
We can totally tell. Well, guys, this was fun. Poke, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you also for like being like a straight up dude, being honest, you know, talking about the things that have happened, addressing the fleece situation, hitting it head on, talking about mistakes you made with Niantic and what you're going to do to get better. That's all we can ask. Chris and I are trying to become better podcasters. You're trying to become a better streamer, a better battler. We're all here trying to get better. What I would like to do now for the next few minutes, I would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find you. Tell our listeners where they can find you both on YouTube, Twitch, wherever, Twitter. And also, I understand you have a merch store, and I would love for them to be able to go on your merch store and be able to buy some swag. So I'm going to turn it over to you to plug everything you need to plug, and we'll make sure we put it in the show notes.
Yeah, guys. So you can find me over on YouTube. Just look up PokeAK, and you will be able to watch my videos. That's going to be PokeAK. And then over on Twitter, I am PokeAK101, unfortunately, because somebody took PokeAK from the get-go, so I had to use 101. And as far as my Teespring, I don't have the exact address, but it is Teespring, maybe /PokeAK, but I definitely have links under every one of my videos, as well as the merch for you to click on. So if you're looking to watch my videos, to hear a little bit more insight on what I got going on, that's YouTube, PokeAK, and then on Twitter, it's going to be PokeAK101.
Awesome. Thank you. Chris, I'm going to give you the final word. Any final questions before we sign off? I'm going to turn it over to you.
No, I don't have any more questions. I really thank you for being so honest and willing to let us ask whatever we wanted to ask. You're a genuine standout guy, and we really appreciate it. And I'm a fan. Now I've subscribed to your YouTube. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you're on the march to 500,000 subscribers now. So Chris is one there. Oh, how many subscribers do you have? When I looked, you were over 200,000. Do you know what your actual subscriber
number is? Yeah, so fun story. As we close here, I have been stuck at about 200,000 and 208,000 subscribers for months. Ever since I got into a controversial thing on Twitter, which I'm not going to get into here. But it really put me down a peg, and I've been just hovering at 200,000 8K for probably over a year now.
It says 209 now.
Wastewaters, so. You hear that?
There you go. I'm your 209,000th subscriber there.
There you go. So, Wastewaters out there, if you are not following PokeAK, please go give him a follow on YouTube and on Twitter. And on that note, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of Wastewaters. If you enjoy what you heard, there's a few ways that you can show us. First, follow us on Twitter at Wastewaters. We are incredibly responsive, and one of us is usually awake to take and answer your questions. Even though we're both in the time zone, neither one of us sleep. It's actually almost 2 a.m. Eastern time right now. You can also rate us on the podcast service that you're currently listening to, such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Apple, Google, iHeartMedia, and others. If you ask me, 5 stars are the best stars, and it really helps the show. Second, visit our website, www.wayspotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website or email us, wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Third, for our American listeners, you can leave us a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming show, or you can tweet us a voice message from Twitter. And finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. You have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastewaters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcasts, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. And we can't end the show without giving our executive producer, Kate DeCons, a special shout out. woohoo, Kate. Ooh, I'm doing the hands up in the air. And with that, we look forward to you listening to us again next week. Thank you for listening to Wastewaters. And remember, there's only one way to stop a fire. Pause my mixtape.